Hey cousins, listen up and stay tuned. We have a special guest, Brian Bristol, today, who is going to talk to us about what pigeons and loans have to do with each other and how he came up with the concept of his company, for which he is CEO of Pigeon Loans. So we're going to find out how he got started, what he does now, and plans that he has in the future to scale. Stay tuned.
At PGD, you're not just a listener, you're family. Is there a career you'd like us to explore or a success story you'd love to share and have us highlight on one of our episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at pgdfam@gmail.com. Subscribe to our show so you can get notified when new episodes drop. Help increase our reach with a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you.
So, welcome everybody to another episode. Normally, I comb the streets of TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, but that is not what happened here today. Today, we told y'all we get emails, we answer them. And today, that's what happened. So, we're going through emails and we see an opportunity to sit down with our next guest, Brian, who we're going to get into some of the past, the present, and then what he's doing from a career perspective, which is also interesting because this involves finance. So Eunice is not our only financial person on the call. Eunice, you have been replaced.
No, I love it. And let's not say I've been replaced. This is just a collaboration, right? So just so much information to share. I need help.
All right. And we're all about the financial literacy and education. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. So welcome, Brian, to our virtual couch.
Thank you. I didn't know we had a couch here, but thank you.
Couches just feel more pleasant.
Yes, perfect. I love that.
So I'm going to kick it off with our inaugural question. And before we start talking about what you do today, let's go back to high school. Let's talk about your junior, your senior year, when you're getting ready to transition out. Some people have the luxury of thinking about college or a technical school. Other people don't. They go right into the workforce. So where were you at that time? Were you planning for your next steps or were you not? What was going on?
Yeah, so I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. To give people a perspective of how old I am, about 25. So this is only 7 years ago. Okay. And in high school, I really didn't have a great education/school to go to. It was in a part of North Carolina where we had some funding, but not enough to really have like a holistic education. So my job was to really go through the 4 years of school, get as high as grades as I could, go to the like most challenging classes that I could so that I'd be competitive when it came to apply to college and it came to actually try and put my foot in the door. A lot of that drive came from my mother, obviously, and I really kind of instilled that within myself. So around junior and senior year of college or senior year of high school, I started to apply for colleges. I applied for 12 different colleges, got into four, got waitlisted to four, got accepted to four. I really wanted to go to some of the best education-based schools. I played lacrosse, which was a sport that most people really don't know about unless you're in the Northeast. But I want to be able to get a good education and also still play a sport. So I ended up graduating, going to Bowdoin College, which is a small liberal arts school in Maine. A little bit on the kind of elitist side, but it's definitely a great institution, something that I don't necessarily regret in terms of education, but I get to study computer science there and philosophy. And then I end up graduating and going through the ranks into technology.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Computer science and philosophy? We're on opposite ends of the spectrum here.
you would think it's on opposite ends of the spectrum, but I like to explain it in the sense that like technology touches every part of your life now. Like any type of question or answer that you need to search for, it's through technology and you have to use it in some way or sense, shape or form. So philosophy, there are literally classes I took where we're trying to understand like what are the ethics behind computers. Like if I'm in a self-driving car and it has to choose between sacrificing the driver or the car or someone on the street, like what is it going to make that decision and who's going to be liable for that? like, what are the ramifications on that on the society? How does that work within the microcosm of people and communities? So there's actually a lot of overlap between technology and philosophy.
Okay.
So now when you were in high school, did you know that computers was it for you? Like, did you, was that always an interest, or did that come in later down the road for you?
So I've always liked computers and technology. It's just like as a kid, okay. I was like super young. My uncle got me one of those Game Boys, those handheld Game Boys. And I played that all the time. I would take apart my like mother's computer, try and put it back together. But I said, I never had the education to actually study it. Never had classes in primary school. So when I got to college, my whole goal was to say, all right, let me try it. Let me see what it's like to actually take a class and understand it and see if I could actually do this as a job. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to just be good at it. One course, I took that and I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. It was something that really confirmed to me that this could be something I could do in my career. And then from there, it's just about really honing in on that skill, trying to catch up too, because a lot of kids come into college with computer science experience. Maybe they take a class or two. So for me, it's about catching up, really trying to prove myself and then make a name for myself in the industry.
Yeah. Wow. So then now you're going through it, you're taking the classes, you're getting comfortable. You're really getting that affirmation, like, wow, I like this. This is what I want to do. So what were your plans for when you graduated college? Was it internship? Was it, let me get a job? Was it, I don't really want to keep doing this. What was your thought process like at that time?
Yeah. So a lot of my drive comes from like prior to college, like growing up in the areas that I did, I never wanted to go back. And I also never wanted my family to need anything again, right? So graduating college, I knew technology had opportunities to make a lot of money, but I didn't know specifically what job, I didn't know specifically what role until I went through the ranks of actually studying and like talking to the college counselors and understanding all of that. What I found out that software engineering is as lucrative as it is. I was like, all right, cool. How do I get there? And throughout the course of college, I did research to understand like how does computer science work. So I'd go to other colleges throughout the U.S. and do summer research. I did that at Columbia in New York, and I did it in Washington University in St. Louis. And then I took a step back and said, all right, now I need workplace experience. So I ended up being fortunate enough to get an internship at Pinterest. Did that in Silicon Valley for about a summer. And then I got a second internship at Intuit. And I did that in Silicon Valley as well. So by the time I graduated college, I had about four or five internships under my belt. And it was up to me to really secure the full-time position. And I was fortunate again to get that position at Intuit as a full-time role. They told me to come back. And from there, I really just tried to learn as much as I could. I worked in security, which is like a specialization within computer science. And really honed in on just learning how to build, learning how to do it the right way, and learning how to really be impactful.
I mean, one of the key things that you've said, and you've said many, but one of the key things is drive, right? So you persevered, you kept going through, you weren't just waiting around and hoping these opportunities fell on your lap.
Yeah.
You went out and sought them.
Yep.
And even when seeking them, you actually outperform when given the opportunity. So now it's like you didn't even take a break. It's not like, oh yeah, I got the opportunity, I'm good, I can relax. It was like, no, I got this opportunity, and let me show these people why I should be here.
That's
drive, you know. And that's something that comes from within, and I'm sure there's more to your story about that, because not everyone has that. But for me, that rang loud and clear in just your messaging to me right now. So
That's definitely something I've carried over, like just to give people's perspective, because it's not easy. I applied for, I think, 60 internships one summer, and I only got two yeses. One of those was Pinterest. So I was like, you know what? We're going to take the opportunity. And then the next summer, I did the same thing again. 70 full-time applications, got three yeses, and then we took into it. So it's a lot of time, effort, and grind, but when they pay off, they really pay off.
And, you know, something else that you also pointed out that I want to point out is the importance of internships, because I don't think a lot of youth realize that whether you're going into college and you're on the college track or not, like internships can be your way to get your foot in the door, to get your experience. Mm-hmm. From those of us that look at resumes now and sit in the conversations now, especially from the tech side of the house, that's one of the things that comes up. Yeah. Especially when you see someone that's a newly graduate coming out of school, okay, internships help paint the picture of what the capability is that the person has. Yep. Versus just having an educational background and then that's it. So,
Absolutely. And let me add to that. In addition to that, having an internship lets you know, do I even want to continue doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, I may have thought that I wanted to do computer science or get into the world of technology or look into being a software engineer. But now that I've had this, it's like, you know what? Maybe this is not what I want. Or maybe it's a bit more focused now. This is the specific role I want to do now. So I think there's just a lot of value to internships. And to your point, not everything is going to be yeses, right? So you applied 70 different places or provided 70 submissions, for example. Two or three, that's almost, you're waiting to hear back. So that doesn't mean all 70, you're getting answers back all in one day. You're waiting. Yeah. It's like, what happens? It's a bit discouraging. Yeah. But you saw those opportunities, they came through and then you made the most out of them. So
exactly.
Definitely have to call that out. Mm-hmm. So you get these internships, you feel good about it. You're like, all right, I know I want to do this. And for a lot of people who don't know, there is a lot of money in the tech space. There is. Mm-hmm. You got to put in the work. It's not going to come easy. You got to put in the work, but it is a lot of effort that goes into it and a lot of funding and money there. Yep. So how did you go from, hey, I want to just do this 9 to 5 and collect the paycheck and just be okay to, I want to think outside the box. I don't want to just collect the paycheck. When did that happen? And how did you make the connections with whoever you connected with?
Yeah, definitely. So to package the story into how it ends up, I ended up working into it for about 2.5 years in San Diego full time. And then I ended up starting my own thing in Pigeon Loans. And Pigeon Loans is a company that simplifies loans between friends and family. So I never had like this idea to become an entrepreneur or to like take myself out of 9 to 5. I've always liked to make a lot of impact. I've always liked solving problems. I always feel as though like I can do a lot of things that can help a lot of people. So working 9 to 5 puts me in a mindset where unless I actually see the fruits of my labor, I'm not really feeling fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. So when the pandemic first hit in March 2020, I got a spark of inspiration simply because a lot of people were struggling. People were losing their jobs and the stock market was crashing. My family was someone who's also impacted by it. There was an individual in my family that actually came to me, asked me for a sum of money. And usually when people ask you for money, you're like, all right, I'd love to help out. I'd love to lend a helping hand. But this time the money was so significant that I had to take a step back and say, you know what? I don't know how the world's going to end up. I'm going to need this money back.
In between shows, keep the conversation alive with the youth in your households with our series, The Adventures of Sophie and Olivia, available on Amazon and directly on our website, pgd-innovations.com. The link is in our show notes. Don't forget to check out our merchandise, and we have some limited time gear only that's available this season. Don't miss out.
So What I wanted to do was create a loan with this individual. And funny enough, there was no platform at the time out there, an app or website that I could actually just spin up a quick loan, like have a document, be able to move money online, set up reminders, all that stuff. So I was shocked. And when I was looking to see for a solution, I said, you know what? Everyone else is at home, like watching TV, watching Tiger King at the time. That was what was popular.
Oh, my goodness. No, you did not.
Hold the melons.
Exactly. So I opened up my laptop and I just started creating. I started coding. I started building it from scratch. Mind you, I didn't really know how to build a website. My expertise was security. So I started to learn and build at the same time, learn and build. And eventually, after 12 weeks, I got something off the ground that was like janky enough just to work between me and my family member. And I used it with them. over the course of a year, they actually ended up paying me back with like the first version of Pigeon Loans.
Wow. And
the loans continued to grow was I put it on my socials and like my friends and family stuff. Mm-hmm. People kept telling me stories being like, I wish I had had this tool when like I was asking for money for my brother or I was lending money to my cousin.
Yeah. I'm thinking of some situations right now in my head. Like, where was this?
Yeah, exactly. So many stories. And I was like, you know what? Is there a market for this? How big is this problem? Found out there's almost $200 billion every single year in the United States as loans between friends and family. So with that kind of giant market size and this kind of put together, I was like, I wonder if I could just solve the problem. And this is something that most people don't have that thought, but I was just like, oh, let me see if I can solve it. And I just decided to create a company out of it and created something that customers would want, something that people would use. And it slowly but surely grew. And now we're about 15,000 users strong. We moved about $1 million in loans between friends and family. We've moved money in 7 different countries, and we're really trying to grow and really do this thing big. So it's been a great journey.
You know, I just have to unpack some things here. First off, you are saving a lot of people from public embarrassment and going to people's court. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it. Because 9 times out of 10, half the cases are involving that. And yes, I gave them money, and where are my receipts?
Yep.
Especially if you're going to Judge Judy.
Yeah.
But the other piece of it that I also like is you're helping a lot of people, because there used to be a saying, right, back in the day, that don't lend any money if you can't afford to get it back. And it was one of those things where lending money, especially to friends and family, was just something that was going to go into a black hole. And you hope the person, exactly, you hope the person can pay you back. But you kind of put structure to that. Mm-hmm. And eliminated that exchange.
Yep.
And I love that. It's like, why did nobody else think of that? You would think something like that would have already existed.
That's what I thought too. And people have had the idea. It's tried to be executed in different ways, but no one's really said, all right, let me focus on solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There have been people who tried to make money off of it, but for us, Pigeon Loans is free. So we're really just trying to solve the problem and provide as many resources so that that whole conversation of don't help out your like brother and your cousin and your mother, which is just a wild concept if you really think about it, doesn't exist. We want people to help out each other.
So when did that, sorry, Rachel. Okay. So when did that aha moment happen? So after 12 weeks of you fooling around with this, building it, coding it, looking at it, being frustrated, when did that aha moment after completion to trying it out with a relative friend that you said, I think I'm on to something. How was that? And when did you say, I'm not going to just let this go and bury it. I'm really going to now push this agenda here.
Yeah. So I would say I was listening to a podcast. It was called the Billionaires Podcast, TIP or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a special guest by the name of Jim McIvey, and he's the co-founder of Square. So that like credit card reader and Bitcoin app, all that stuff. And he was talking about this concept called the innovation stack. And the innovation stack is something where you can create a business that actually solves a problem that people actually haven't tried to solve before in a novel way. And he said there's 2 successful ways to really make a lot of money in business / actually do something well in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
Take a pre-existing idea, spin it, give it its own tweak. So like if you did Uber in China or like DoorDash in Africa, those are the types of businesses that would obviously be successful because you're just copying the model and giving it a tweak. Or you can find a problem that no one has really touched before and given an actual solution to and build it from the ground up. And when I was listening to that podcast, he basically said, the second option, building it from the ground up, is by far the hardest thing you can probably do in life. Just
absolutely.
All the no's, all the naysayers.
People who think you're crazy. The social life that's now like being sacrificed because of this.
Right. Exactly. But he was like, if you can get to the point where it actually does show gleamings of success and show gleamings of promise, then it's unstoppable. No one can really copy you. No one can really take it from you. It's just something that grows and blossoms on its own. So listening to that, I basically said, all right, if I can just hone in and just really give myself the conviction to continue to do this for years on end, we could create a product that would genuinely change how people think about supporting each other.
I love that. And talk to us a little bit about the functionality piece of it, because you kind of alluded to it in the first version where you were using it with a family member and there was a way to electronically send money. So let's say I go to Eunice, I'm going to go big, prepare yourself. And I say, hey, I need $100,000.
Go big.
Don't ask me any, you know, go big. And don't ask me any questions. I will pay you back, but I need this money. What would then be our next steps if we were going to use Pigeon Loans to kind of broker the deal?
Yeah, definitely. So there's two main steps when you come to Pigeon Loans. It's really signing up and creating that loan structure. So for $100,000, you both have Pigeon Loans accounts. One of you would initiate the transaction. So we'd walk step by step and say, what is the principal on your loan? Mm-hmm. How long is that loan going to last? And then do you want to add interest rate to it? So basically,
well, Rachel's going to say 50 years. I'm going to say
interest rate 1%.
So we're going to come to terms. I'm loving this idea. Okay, go on.
When it comes to terms, you can negotiate on the app, all that good stuff. And once you've both agreed to the actual process of what you want your loan to look like, we'll then have you sign the dotted line. We'll generate a promissory note that is just a bare statement saying, here's the details of the loan, that get paid back. Here's what happens in the case of default or an argument, all that good stuff. The things that people usually go to lawyers for, we've vetted it with lawyers across the US and given people a blanket statement. Then once it's signed, we manage it for the course of its entirety. So if you want to make a payment via your credit card or debit card or ACH, we'll move that through our app. You can set up reminders. So if you want to get reminded every 20 days that you owe someone money, you could set that on our platform too. So we try to make the process as holistic as possible.
Yeah. I'm ready to loan somebody money today. Let me take it back.
Well,
take it
back. I'm ready to receive your loan, Daddy. Give me your loan money.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. So I love that. So you have this product, you have a great user base that's now expanding. Do you have any desire, and now that you've created a company out of this, to want to either scale the existing product, or have you had ideas of other complementary products that you could grow with?
Yeah, it's both yes and no answer. So for us, we don't really build anything unless people ask for it. So we're very into like customer surveys, asking our customers what they want, listening to their complaints, all that stuff. And for us, there's a lot of ideas that we could add to this, but the two big things is really people want to build their credit score when they use Pigeon Loans. People want more access to money. Because let's say I asked someone for $1,000, they might not have the full $1,000 that you're looking for. Sometimes they have $700, maybe $500. So those
they want to fill that gap.
Exactly. So those two concepts, building your credit and filling that gap, those are actually things we're working on right now. And we want to be able to have something where it doesn't really matter if your friend or family member can help you out entirely. We'll get them the rest of the way there so that you can then have that loan exist within your community.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All this innovation, all this innovation.
And again, this is, again, something for the community, something to help out just at the bare basics, right? Friends and family, because that's what it comes down to. It's like you get a paycheck, you need help. And sometimes you just don't want to go find a loan shark. You like your knees, you want to keep your knees. And so you don't want to deal with any of that, right? And so having an app that can kind of help broker that deal is, wow. I'm loving this idea. This was so needed. And I'm thinking about, and I'm going back to college now. When I was in college, everybody couldn't wait for those loan checks to come in whenever you got your little financial aid for some people. And some people got theirs before other people, and you're running to the cash check in place and all this other stuff, versus if this app was around then, what a difference it would have made, right? or even when it's time to pay rent. Just having something in writing just goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a listener, and they too are noticing a need of something and either a lack of it or it doesn't exist, like in your particular case. But they don't necessarily know how to get started, because you talk to one person, they might say, oh, wireframe it or go to all of these different non-coding related apps. You talk to another person, they might give you a completely different set of advice. Yeah. So what would you say could be some advice just for someone trying to get started?
Yeah, so that's called the 0 to 1 problem. And it's really difficult to go from 0 to 1. It's really easy to go from 1 to 10, 10 to 100, but 0 to 1 is one of those things where you really have to think about it deeply. So for people who have those types of things that they want to create or like find a problem and then solve it with a good solution, you first have to really understand what that roadmap looks like. What is my step one? My step one might be just going to Google and searching if the solution that you're trying to build even exists. And if it doesn't exist, all right, cool. What do I want it to have in terms of the solution? So for me, I was the customer, right? Like I was the person lending money to my family member. So I was like, all right, if I wanted this platform, I'd want to be able to move money without asking them for it. I'd want to be able to remind them without having to text them. And I'd probably want a note just in case something goes wrong. So with that three core ideas, I was like, all right, what's the best way to service that now? Okay, apps are a big thing. Web applications are a big thing. Let's try and build something in the internet. So you kind of iterate on each step. You try and figure out the solving of the problem first as its foundation, and then the features. And then you try and think of who are the people that can help me get there. So if you're not someone who can actually build these things on your own, it's going to take a lot of convincing. You're going to have to really sell people if you want them to come on board your ship, help you build something, especially when you don't have the funding, especially when you don't have the capital. That's something that you're going to get a lot of no's, but eventually you might get one or two yeses. And when you do get those one or two yeses, you have to cherish it. You have to like really hone in, figure out a way to make sure that it works in the way that you need it to and take advantage of the opportunity. You're not going to get them over and over and over again. So those are kind of my kind of steps as to how I go about it. Practically speaking, I think Google is a great tool. Learning how to become a search expert is definitely great. I think there's a lot of information there. Books are still amazing. Like a lot of people have kind of put books to the side and are doing podcasts, even though we're on a podcast is great. But books still have amazing knowledge. And I think understanding what people have written in the past on how to solve problems without technology or without the resource that we have today really brings it down to its like foundation as to like what solving a problem is.
I completely agree with that statement.
Yeah. So there's all these resources out there. It's about searching, and it's about having enough drive, energy, conviction to continue to search until you're finally like, oh, I understand this. I know how to create it. Let's try and execute it.
I would agree with that. So you went from 9 to 5-er. Well, no, you went from interner, student, 9 to 5-er to now owning your own company. So if you had to pick one pro and one con, what would that be? Because a lot of times people see the end result, the glow up, and don't understand the actual work ethic, the long nights, all of that stuff that involves that process.
So the con is definitely stability. When you lose your 9 to 5, and I will caveat this by saying I did my 9 to 5 for a whole year while I was also working on Pigeon Loans. So I basically did 2 9-to-5s for about 65 days.
Drive. There's that word again.
And that was because of the stability problem. If you don't have a good source of income and you can't pay rent and you can't put food on the table, all that good stuff, you're not going to work on your business. You're not going to work on your dream. You're not going to work on any of it because too many other things are getting in the way for you. So that's the con. If you're really trying to start something, make sure you can feel taken care of for at least 2 months, 3 months. Give yourself 90 days to really just hone in on it. And then work on your craft. But the pro, I think, is getting to meet amazing people. Like without this platform, Vision Loans, I would never meet you guys. I've met some amazing investors. I've met some amazing thought leaders. I think that access to just people and understanding the world and how people are doing other things and really creating a lot of impact, that's unmatched. You can't really get that from 9 to 5 because it's really just your team and the company you work for.
I love that. And if people want to find you or maybe even have questions for you, or they have questions about Pigeon Loans and they want to be directed somewhere, how can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. So for Pigeon Loans, everything on our website will basically explain it all in terms of how to use the product, how to get to our socials. Our website is pigeonloans.io. You can do pigeonloans.com and you'll still get to the same place. In terms of our socials, it's all at Pigeon Loans. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. For me, if you email any of the Pigeon Loans emails, you'll definitely find me. Like, I'll see it in my inbox. I'll respond to it.
Well, you're the mastermind, right? So you're moving all the pieces behind the scenes. So
I'll definitely see it at some point. And then social, Pigeon Loans follows me on pretty much all the socials. So you can find it working backwards that way. And then I'm always open to conversations and discussions. I actually have like a open Calendly link on Pigeon Loans. You can go to the sport and literally just put time in my calendar and I'll just have a conversation with you. So that's how you can contact me.
Wonderful. So, and y'all take advantage, because when he get to like Chase Bank level, that link going away. I can tell you that.
Oh my God. So one more question for you.
Yeah.
Have you had a moment where you kind of just sat back and took it all in and was just like, I wasn't even thinking about this, and look where I'm at now?
Yeah, I had that about 5 or 6 months ago, because there was a point at which, like, even me and my drive, I was just like, I could only do this for another 30, 60 days. Opportunity cost is I could go back to industry and make engineering money, or I could just continue to at this, right? So we were fortunate enough to get into the world's top accelerator program, which is called Y Combinator. Y Combinator is the reason Coinbase, DoorDash, Airbnb, Instacart, all these big time companies exist. So we were selected in that program. And in getting selected, I was just eating a sandwich. And it kind of all like washed over me. And I was like, wow, I've been grinding at this for a year, year and a half. We finally get the like notoriety, the stamp of approval from the biggest of the baddest investors in the world. This is about to change the entire course of the company. So that was about 4 or 5 months ago. And I since then, it's been through the roof. Like, we've really just been growing and really trying to prove ourselves.
Awesome. Well, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Where did Pigeon Loans come from? What? Why that name?
It's my favorite question. Okay.
Well, leave it to Rachel to bring it up.
It's my favorite. So the concept of Pigeon Loans, if you think about it, we're moving money between communities, we're moving money between friends and family, et cetera, et cetera. So that same podcast, I took a step back and I was listening and I was like, you know what? What is a concept that really articulates this movement between communities? And I was thinking about like history. I don't know why. I just kind of I went that direction.
The philosophy side.
Yeah, exactly. There were probably communities back in the day / war camps that had homing pigeons that moved letters from place to place, community to community. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, paper money has been around for a long, long time. There's no way that these pigeons that were moving all these different resources and letters between different places weren't carrying money at some point. So what I did is I went online, I found a stock image of a bird, which is our current logo, and I put another stock image, which was this orange dollar bill in its mouth to kind of signify that this pigeon is moving money from one community to another. And I looked at it. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I thought it was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen.
I thought you were going in a completely different direction.
Absolutely hideous.
Well, that he shed a tear, like he has arrived. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was hideous. So what I did is I thought about it for days. I was like, pigeon, it makes sense, but no one would understand what pigeon is without saying what it actually is doing. So then I added loans, because it's like, all right, we're making loans between friends and family. So now we have pigeon loans with this ugly bird. But as I was really just trying to figure out, all right, there's got to be something better than this. It was 5-6 days had gone by, and I was like, you know what? If I'm still thinking about this ugly name, I almost guarantee you that people all over the world are going to think, why is this company named this way? Why is it so weird? Like, it sticks in your head. So I was like, all right, let's do the counterintuitive. It's going to be called Pigeon Loans. I hate it, but hey, here we go. Now this is the company name. And I was right. People ask that question all the time.
But it is catchy. It's extremely catchy, because it's like, oh, Pigeon Loans. Okay. It's something that you don't forget once you hear it. You know, it's just, that's just what it is.
Exactly. So that's
the name. Well, thank you for sharing and sitting on our virtual couch today. I feel like in this short time span, I feel like I know you. I knew you in high school, and now look at you.
I mean, do you know him enough to ask for a loan?
You know what? I'm going to shoot my shot. I need $100,000.
Well, let me stop you there.
Oh man.
Yes, we completely appreciate you just taking the time and sharing your story with us, because it was definitely one that was impactful. And Rachel and I, you know, just at PGD Innovations, we're all about just how can we help each other. And so just what you're doing is just one more way that we can do that. So definitely wanted to get your ear, talk to you for a little bit. Super exciting. And we would definitely keep following you to see what you've got going on, because there's more to come.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of stuff to accomplish. So hopefully we're here for years to come. But I appreciate you guys hosting me.
Wonderful. And thank you so much. For those of you that didn't get a chance to write down fast enough what all the social medias were and how you can get in contact with Brian, don't worry. You can click the more in the podcast episode, and it will show all of the links to all of his social media so that you can like, follow, subscribe, and loan or ask, depending on what side of fence.
Exactly.
Well, cousins, we've come to the end. Thank you for listening to another episode. We have officially wrapped our season 5, so you know what happens next. It's mini-sode season. It's a vibe. So we've gone through influencers. We've gone through jobs of the weird. Stay tuned to see what mini-sodes we're going to go through this time. You know I always got to keep Eunice on her toes, and you know I'm going to find some of the funniest Reddit stories. Also, leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, but we're everywhere. And you can also email us at pgdfam @gmail.com. If you're interested in talking about your career journey, you never know who you can help. Definitely email us, reach out to us like Brian did, and we'd love to chat with you and get you on our virtual couch. So we'll talk to you guys soon. And don't forget to also follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter. We're everywhere, y'all. All you got to do is Google PGD Innovations and we'll pop up. So talk to you guys soon, and we'll speak to you next week.